Well, welcome back to HealthLink On Air, produced each week by SUNY Upstate Medical University, making the academic difference in healthcare in the Central New York community. And this is your host, Tricia Torrey, every patient's advocate. Well, listeners, we've talked before about transplants and donations previously on HealthLink On Air. It's an important conversation, to be sure, and it strikes me that during this time of the year when we tend to get together with family and friends, it's a great time to raise the question again, a good topic to discuss with our loved ones. In the studio with me this morning is Anita Zanin from the Central New York Eye and Tissue Bank to talk about donations, some new opportunities, and certainly benefits to those who are in need of these kinds of transplants. Good morning, Anita.
Good morning.
And welcome. This information is very positive, life-enhancing, and complex, all rolled into one, isn't it?
It certainly is.
Let's start with eye and tissue donation. Some of the basics. It's been the foundation of your work for many years, hasn't it?
It has. We've been in this community since 1955.
Long time.
Yes.
Long time. Who receives these donated eyes and tissues?
There's a lot of people. One tissue donor can help over 50 people. People who are suffering from corneal blindness is who receives cornea transplants. Many different people receive tissue transplants. Athletes, people who suffer from cancer. There are many different types of tissue recipients.
And what kinds of tissues are we talking about?
We're talking about bones, veins, heart valves, skin for burn victims, and most recently, peripheral nerves.
And we're going to talk about more about those peripheral nerves in just a moment. But one thing that struck me as I was going through your website, and I think we all think this only happens on TV, but it really happens. Somebody can receive one of these corneal transplants and they can see. And
Absolutely.
They weren't able to see before. Tell us about that. It's got to be so exciting.
Absolutely. There's people who have never been able to see their grandchild that all of a sudden can see again. What happens when somebody goes blind from a corneal blindness is that their cornea sometimes goes cloudy and they can't see at all. And they can sometimes perceive light differences, but that's about it. And then when they have a new cornea, it's very much like a contact lens when they replace it. And then it's like a clear window. And they've taken that film off, and they can now see their new grandchild again for the first time.
That has got to be the most amazing thing. And now you actually have a new capability for something new that you're transplanting, and I find this fascinating. Tell us about it.
In October, we recovered our very first peripheral nerve donor. They've been transplanting peripheral nerves since 2007, and they're actually finding that those work better than somebody's own native nerves. When somebody had a peripheral nerve damage, they would typically take a nerve from elsewhere in the person's body to replace that severed nerve, and then that would cause another surgical site and a deficit elsewhere in that person's body to repair it, and sometimes it worked and sometimes it didn't. Now they can use a donor's nerve, and they're finding that that works even better than the person's own nerve tissue.
Now, who would need a peripheral nerve replacement? What kinds of injuries would bring up that need?
There again, there's a lot of different kinds of recipients for this type of transplant. There are people who, men who have prostate cancer, there's a large nerve that can be damaged when the prostate is removed, and then they can suffer from erectile dysfunction and incontinence, and that can be repaired. A lot of soldiers who have suffered war injuries that can be repaired, people who suffer crushing hand injuries in farm or home accidents, sensation and motility can be restored.
Excellent, excellent. And you described to me some of the way this actually works, and it's fascinating. Talk about it for a minute.
When blood vessels, for example, are repaired, they suture those, put those together end to end so that there's no leaking.
With little tiny stitches all the way around.
Right. But nerves are a little bit different. If you put them together exactly end to end, they actually won't function. They have to leave a little gap in between them, and they actually orient themselves into the correct position so that they'll function properly. It's really very neat.
And then they grow together?
Yep, they do. And then if you were to open them back up several months after the surgery, it looks like the person's own native tissue. It provides a scaffolding for regeneration of the nerve tissue.
That is just fascinating. All right, so now let's switch back to the people who would be potentially donors. And that's the conversation that I think is important this time of year when we spend so much time with family. When people die, they can choose to donate their bodies, and they can donate one part of them, all parts of them? Talk to us about how that works.
Back in 1998, there was a federal initiative to increase organ and tissue donation where every hospital has to call in every single death to their organ procurement organization. And at that point, somebody is medically screened for suitability. And if somebody wants to donate, we talk with their family and gain consent and let them know what their potential options are for donation. Based on a lot of different factors, their age, their medical condition at the time of death. And families can choose what they want to donate and what is comfortable for them. And then we go ahead and coordinate the recovery.
Now, do you ever run into a situation where you think perhaps the person who's just died would have wanted to donate, but the family says no?
That does unfortunately happen. There has been an intent registry for a number of years in New York State where somebody has been on the intent registry, but the family has said no. As of July 23rd, there's a new consent registry that's maintained by the New York State Department of Health that a family can't override that person's wishes anymore. So if somebody really wants to donate, they should really sign up in that New York State registry, and then that way they can be sure that their wishes will be carried out.
And how do they do that? Do they just go online to do it?
They can get a form from our website and enroll in that registry. And then at the time of death, we would inform their family that they had consented to organ and tissue donation, and we would let their family know what's going to be recovered, what the process is, and so we can carry out their wishes for them.
It must be a very difficult conversation to have on the one hand, because people have just lost their loved one, and on the other hand, it has to be a very hopeful conversation because you think about all the lives you're going to enhance. You know, the quality is going to improve for all of those people.
That's right. And it does help the families to know that something good has come out of something so difficult and to know that their loved one lives on in someone else and sometimes over 50 someone else's.
Which is just great. Now, if people want to sign up on this registry, and we'll give them the web address in a little while, they just go on and they sign up. What if they change their mind?
They can revoke that by a written letter. They can send that into the Department of Health, and their name will be removed.
They can. So they stay in charge of the whole process,
absolutely,
don't they?
And it still is very important to let their family know. It's always, always, and as with any healthcare decision, it's important to let your family know what your wishes are.
I would agree with that. Well, let's talk about some of the questions that donors and donor families have about the process itself. I know that one of the questions I've heard before is, you know, what does my religion say about that? Is it okay with my church if I do this?
Just about all major religions leave it up to the individual choice, mm-hmm. and they all support organ and tissue donation.
They do, and people can always ask their pastor about it or someone in their church about it if they're unsure.
Absolutely.
And then what about the funeral process itself? Does donating get in the way of what happens after someone dies?
Not typically. If sometimes organ donation, if somebody is an actual solid organ donor, that process can take up to 24 hours or sometimes a little bit longer, so there can be some delay. But the organ procurement organizations, the tissue banks and iBanks work with the funeral directors in order to try and not delay the funeral processes. As far as having an open casket, if somebody could have an open casket prior to donation, then they can have an open casket after donation.
They can. So however the body is taken care of afterwards, you don't know it.
Right. When somebody is, say, a bone donor, the bones that are taken out are replaced with prosthetics. And at the time of consent, when we talk with families at this point, if they're not on the first-person consent registry, we talk with them about what's going to be recovered and how it's going to be used and that it's replaced with prosthetics, where the suture lines are and things like that.
And so the families will really understand. There won't be question marks afterwards. What does it cost to donate?
There is no cost to the donor family. Any costs that are associated with the recovery are borne by the tissue and iBank.
They are. Excellent. Well, let's talk about how people can get this information they need. First of all, if they want to ask questions about donation or about the processes there at the tissue and iBank, they can get in touch with you by phone?
Absolutely.
Okay. And what would the phone number be?
It's 476-0199.
Okay. And we'll make sure that we put that on our HealthLink On Air website. And then what is the web address?
It's www.cnyetb.org.
Okay, so that's Central New York Eye and Tissue Bank.org. That's fairly easy. And again, we'll make sure we put a link from the HealthLink On Air website. Well, Anita Zanin, thank you so much for coming by this morning talking about tissue and eye donation. It's fascinating about this new nerve capability you have, and I think many people will benefit.
Well, thank you for having me. We appreciate the opportunity.
And listeners, we do need to take a commercial break. We'll be back in just a few moments. This is SUNY Upstate's HealthLink On Air on 570 WSYR.